The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, April 14th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're coming to you live and direct from the world-famous Oregon Normal Cannabis Cafe. Let's hear you out there, cafe! Oh, we're having a good time out here, and joining me to my left, our engineer, the maestro, the man who pushes the buttons, my good friend, Ganja John.
Well, I think that was a good intro.
That was a very good intro, Ganja John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. How's the Cannabis Cafe doing?
Oh, man. Ganja John spent some time last night making some extra special goodies for those of us here at the cafe. We'll be getting to that later. And joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, at the mouth of the Columbia River, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
And I got to tell you, it is about... 15 out of a 1 to 10 on beauty today in Astoria. It's gorgeous today.
I know. It's really tough being inside here at the cafe as well. We've got beautiful blue skies, nice spring day here.
Carrie, you know what? You're a 15 out of a 10 in beauty. How about that?
Aww, aren't you sweet?
Yeah, we're having a good time here. We got all sorts of stuff coming up in today's show. Today is our Irie Wednesday for our Daily Toker Tune, so we'll be getting some reggae-style music from Akafool. He's going to bring us a song called In the Air. And then we'll be going to our cannabis science segment at 30 after the hour with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany. He's a professor of psychology out there and one of the world's leading researchers on marijuana. If you've got a question about medicine, science, culture, or history of cannabis, today is the day to ask it. We'll be taking your questions in the live chat as well as on our live mic right here in the Cannabis Cafe. So if anybody here wants to ask Dr. Mitch a question, we'll be doing that at half past the hour. At 45 past, we'll be going to Ohio where they have introduced a medical marijuana bill. We've got two activists from Normal joining us. Tanya Davis, the Pauline Sabin Award winner for Normal, also with Miami Valley Normal, and Don Dunlap from Central Ohio Normal. They're joining us at 45 after. Now, right after our first break, Cannabis Carrie comes back with us and gives us our hemp headlines. So what is on tap in the news today, Carrie?
Well, my head is spinning trying to keep up on all the medical marijuana legislation that's floating around our nation. We're going to look at a state that I thought would be one of the last to go that's considering medical marijuana. We're also going to check in with a national leader that has a very surprising opinion about the California legalization efforts. And we're going to go to Maine, where they have decided to tax medicine, and we're going to break it down for you so you understand what's going on over there.
All right, we'll take a look at all of that right after this first break. I want to remind folks to visit our sponsors. We got a new sponsor on our blog at stash.normal.org, Marijuana Doctors. Click their ad so we can get some impressions and impress the advertisers, get more support for spreading the growing truth about cannabis. We're right back with the hemp headlines. I'm Radical Russ. This is Normal Show Live from the Cannabis Cafe.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and THCF has clinics in 10 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, and Rhode Island. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or call 1-800-723-0188.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Hey, Russ, actually, before I started the news today, I did want to acknowledge a loss that Normal suffered this last week. For those of you that didn't know, Greg Piasecki, who founded the Oakland County chapter of Normal, a very active chapter in Michigan, died last week of cancer. He was named the 2009 Michigan Normal Director of the Year, and he was liked by everyone that met him. It's my understanding, after talking to one of his friends on Friday, that he had been diagnosed with a brain tumor within the last year and was such a special spirit that he remained upbeat through his treatment and continued to help others even though he was suffering. Our love and support go out to his wife, Mary Pat Clark, and his family and many, many friends there in Michigan and all over the country. The family had requested that any memorial donations be made to the Meadowbrook Theater that's in Rochester Hills, where he served as a production manager and an ace carpenter, to Oakland County Normal or Michigan Hospice. Greg was only 42 years old, Russ, so wow. Want to send our love and support out to the Michigan Normal staff.
Yeah, there's so many people that we meet in our activism here for medical marijuana and for marijuana re-legalization, and especially in the medical marijuana field, so many people that are doing it for their own survival, you know, to survive cancer, to survive multiple sclerosis, whatever they might be afflicted with, and unfortunately that means we lose a lot of them, you know, too soon. You know, 42 years old, that's how old I am, and way too soon to be ending a life. But he packed a lot into that life, Greg Piasecki did, with Oakland County Normal, was well respected and loved up there. And again, our condolences go out to his family. All right, Carrie, let's go on with the news today.
All right. It's getting difficult to keep all the states that are considering allowing medical marijuana straight, and now states that were once considered unlikely to ever consider a state cannabis law are putting together strategies for medical marijuana laws. The latest state to join in the debate is our home state of Idaho. Republican Representative Tom Trail is hoping to get folks talking about the possibility now and introduce legislation in 2011. Dr. Christian Skull, an oncologist from Idaho Falls, told local news affiliate ABC there that he can prescribe drugs that have a much greater addictive potential, and yet marijuana that has so many benefits for his cancer patients, he can't prescribe, saying, "It's never really made sense to me." He supports the legislation efforts because he knows that his cancer patients can benefit from marijuana. He said that if you think rationally about it, marijuana is a much less dangerous drug than morphine, which he prescribes every single day for some of his cancer patients. Representative Trail is working to get the dialogue going and try to reach understanding how medical marijuana could benefit Idaho. And although Idaho is surrounded by medical marijuana states, the geography belies the ideology. He's planning to host town meetings throughout the summer to introduce folks to his idea, and he said people can voice their thoughts and concerns by writing their local legislatures.
Yeah, Representative Trail has been a guest on our show. You can go back to stash.normal.org and search through our archives if you'd like to hear his own opinions from his own mouth about medical marijuana. Very thoughtful legislator, a Republican in Moscow, Idaho, which is a college town. That's where the University of Idaho is located. And this kind of hits home for both Carrie and I because we are natives of the state of Idaho. And like she said in one of her intros, we never thought that medical marijuana would even be considered in the state of Idaho. But it just goes to show how universal the support is for the medical uses of marijuana. We'll see what Tom Trail comes up with and what kind of support he can garner for this. Idaho is known as one of the most conservative Republican legislatures in the nation, and it's unclear as to whether the governor would even sign such a bill, but we'll keep our eyes on Idaho and update you as the story continues.
Randy Weingarten is the head of the American Federation of Teachers, and she was also a guest on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher a few weeks ago. And it's no surprise that Maher asked her about what she thought about California making the move to legalize marijuana. Her answer, though, did surprise many. The teachers' union boss and president of the 865,000-member educators group said that she thinks everything should be fine as long as it's in moderation. It's pretty much fine, she said. She clarified her statements a minute later to say that she only endorses marijuana if it is legal. Maher, who seemed genuinely surprised by her answer, asked her about parents who smoke cannabis but don't want their children using marijuana, and she answered, quote, "When something becomes a forbidden fruit, you have to spend a whole lot of time making sure that when you say no, people don't think that you mean yes." Since her appearance on the show, it seems that many people have some follow-up questions for the teachers' union boss. She told the New York Daily News that as a baby boomer, she had smoked marijuana, but said her experimentation was short-lived because of her chronic asthma. She clarified her statement to say that she doesn't condone children using marijuana, just as she doesn't condone underage drinking. Of course, the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, they were all over it. Spokesperson Josie Felice was quick to criticize Weingard, saying, quote, "Legalizing marijuana would just add another substance, along with alcohol, to the menu of intoxicants that are already too available and harmful to kids." Weingarten is a native New Yorker and was named one of the most powerful women in New York City business, and New York Magazine calls her one of the most influential people in education in the state.
Well, this is a great story to hear someone, you know, it seems like people are more and more able to speak the truth about how they feel about our reforming of marijuana laws, even people who are in the teachers union here. And I want to just make note of one of the opposition tactics here. You heard that opposition spokesperson saying, why should we add another substance to the menu for kids to get intoxicated on? Well, guess what? Cannabis is on the menu. It's already on the menu. Survey after survey for year after year has shown, this is from the Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse, Joseph Califano's group, when they survey young people in grades 10 and 12, 70% of kids in grades 10 and 80% of kids in grade 12 say that cannabis is easy or fairly easy to get a hold of. Okay? So it's already on the menu. The question is whether or not we're going to let it remain unregulated, remain untaxed, and remain in the hands of criminals and teenagers, or are we going to take some responsibility and accept the fact that adults can use cannabis in moderation? There's nothing morally wrong with it. There's nothing physically wrong with it. There's nothing for your health that's wrong with it. And there's nothing spiritually wrong with it. In fact, there's a lot of benefits to it. And we got to recognize that it's never going to go away. We spend billions and billions of dollars every year trying to eradicate marijuana, trying to get people to stop. And all that happens is the United States continues to have some of the world's highest rates of adult cannabis use and teen cannabis use for that matter. In the Netherlands, where they allow cannabis use in the coffee shops, they have half the rates of marijuana use among their teenagers and lifetime use among their adults. So kudos to Randy Weingarten and the teachers union for coming out for some intelligent discourse on the reform of marijuana laws.
Now, Maine has had medical marijuana for just over a decade, but until now, the state hasn't collected any taxes. Maine Governor John Baldacci signed into law a bill that will apply the state's 5% sales tax to medical marijuana sold in one of the 8 new state dispensaries, some of which could be up and running before the end of the year. The legislators on the taxation committee in Maine recommended the tax as a way to pay for expenses to regulate dispensaries, a new addition to the state's medical marijuana program that voters approved of in the last statewide election. The Maine Revenue Service is estimating that the state will reap more than $100,000 yearly in tax revenue. And it isn't all bad news for patients who purchase medical cannabis. The state's tax analyst says that the new system of state-certified growers will bring the price down to an estimated cost of only $50 per ounce. Now, patients would pay an additional 5% to the state, or about $2.50 if the state tax analyst is correct. The merchants would be taxed as well, but they'd be taxed in one large sum of $15,000 for a licensing fee, and the nonprofit dispensaries will be subject to regulation oversight by the Department of Health and Human Services, and they're the group that also issue the state ID cards. Advocates have some concern for the current 50 or so caregivers that are licensed by the state of Maine to grow and sell marijuana now to patients who list them as their caregiver. Critics of the new dispensary system say that the little growers would no longer be able to provide medicine at cost to compete with the dispensary's estimated low price, and with only 8 dispensaries allowed statewide, many patients might lose some access to a supply. Now, those that called for the dispensary say their fears are overblown. Russ, time will tell in this latest state experiment with medical cannabis dispensaries.
Well, this is one of those good news, bad news stories, isn't it? Well, let me tackle the bad news first, and that is the idea of taxing medical marijuana. This is something, you know, we always talk about tax and regulate and tax, let's tax marijuana, raise some money. But that's an argument to be applied to the legalization of marijuana for healthy adults, for personal purposes, right, for commercial purposes. I don't believe in taxing people for growing their own at home, and I certainly don't believe in taxing people who are sick. I don't believe in taxing any kind of medicine, much less medical marijuana. If it's something that people need to live, let's let that remain untaxed. So that's the bad side of it. I'm not for taxing medical marijuana, even though we've seen it in Oakland, you know, the city of Oakland, they voted for medical marijuana specifically to be taxed, and they're raising a lot of money. And there is an argument to be made that by taxing medical marijuana, you add some legitimacy to it in the eyes of the state. But to me, it's just a moral issue. I just don't think it's right to tax medicine or food for that matter. But let's get to the good news side of this, and that is these 8 dispensaries and the notion of a state-controlled dispensary system bringing the prices of medical marijuana down. One of the things I've had a big problem with dispensary situations that we have in California and Colorado and to some extent in Montana and Michigan now is this kind of green rush mentality. That everybody's in it for the money. How can we make a buck? And we're basically just transferring the profiteering of the black market into a semi-legitimate white market, or maybe a off-white or gray market, right? I'm not against people making money, but the problem is, in a dispensary situation where you don't have the natural competition and you're only serving 5% of the market, while the other 95% of the market is illegal, that 95% is subject to all of the prohibition-added risks that add to the price of the cannabis. And then the dispensaries that are trying to compete in a pseudo-free market system are still subject to the prices on the streets, right? Because they can't buy it from the growers any less than the street will pay them, and they can't sell it for any less than what people can sell it on the street. So here in Maine, where they're trying to set up a dispensary system that's state-controlled and bring those prices down to $50 an ounce, that's awesome. I am all behind that. Anything that brings the prices down for patients is a good thing. And this truly does go back to the idea of it being non-profit, being about the altruism of helping people. We've been going through this battle for healthcare in America for so many years now, and we have so much problem with pharmaceutical companies jacking up the prices, insurance companies trying to deny coverage, that healthcare has just become so unobtainable for so many in this country. The beauty of medical marijuana is it's a houseplant. You can grow it yourself. You can treat yourself, and for a relatively low cost. You don't have to make appointments other than the one appointment to see your doctor for the medical marijuana card. You don't have to keep going back to get your prescription refilled and paying that copay every time. And for people who don't have health insurance, medical marijuana is one of the few ways that they can come up with an affordable way to take care of themselves. So this profiteering we see in some of the dispensaries where they're charging, you know, $10, $15, $25 per gram for medicine when you know it didn't cost them that much to grow it is just it just breaks my heart sometimes to think that you'd turn to some patient who's in pain or suffering, has spasticity, and say, yeah, I'll be glad to help you out. That'll be $450 an ounce. I couldn't do that. I personally couldn't do that to someone. Again, for the people out there that are growing and making money, I'm all for that. I'm all for making money, but only when it's a level playing field for everyone. When we re-legalize cannabis for everyone and natural market forces are at work that are going to have competition to bring the prices down and people can grow outdoors in massive fields and have bulk pricing kick in, then I'm all for profiteering. Then I'm all for making all the money you want to make. But if we're going to call it medical and we're going to be dealing with sick and disabled and dying people, trying to make a buck off those people, it just reeks of immorality to me. And that's the way I feel about it. If you've got a different opinion, please send it to me at stash@normal.org. We'll be glad to talk about it. Maybe even have you on the show and we can have a debate about this little medical marijuana dispensary system. But good news to Maine and going forth with their dispensaries. We love it. Oh, we love this time of day. It's 20 after the hour, and that means it's time for an extra special break here at the Cannabis Cafe. Let's hear it, Cafe. It's 20 after. 420 in the East Coast.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, the reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live. Going to light. Roll a big fatty.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, available now on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, we get to fly all the way through cyberspace to the beautiful state of Iowa and visit with Johnny Reeferseed. Johnny, how you doing today, my man?
Oh, great. It's a beautiful day out here, about 80 degrees and the sun's shining. Can't ask for much more.
Oh, I love it, Dan. I love it. Got to make my way to Iowa one of these days and visit you guys, you and the Reverend out there.
Yeah, you should.
It'll be a lot of fun. So, oddly enough, we go to Iowa for our reggae music because Johnny's got it down as far as the reggae goes. So, what are we listening to today, Johnny?
Today, this guy, I really like him. And he's not really a reggae artist per se, but this is a reggae song. So his name is Akafool. And Akafool, born and raised in the Little Haiti area of Miami, Florida, and currently representing Tampa, Florida, is the definition of a true artist. One that marches to the drum of a different beat, a man in his own lane, defying both description and logic. Akafool's talents encompass many facets, including singing, rapping, songwriting, engineering, and producing, which has led to the creation of some of the hottest sounds coming out of the South. Whether performing at major events or local clubs, Akafool can't be anyone but himself, a cool and humble brother. This real genuine quality he possesses has helped him to establish a strong and diverse fan base by serving up his music with the power to enlighten, entertain, educate, and elevate. Akafool continues to grab attention and is currently putting the finishing touches on his latest mixtape release called My Crazy Summer, which will feature all original music and include, of course, the latest release, Let's Ride. Today's Every Wednesday Toker Tune in the air is Akafool's latest submission to the Marijuana Music Awards, which is coming up here in May or June. You can check out Akafool at www.myspace.com, AKAFOOLINC, or at www.akafoolinc.com. And make sure, if you like him, purchase his music on iTunes. So I smell something in the air.
Yeah, I smell it too, Johnny. Thanks so much, Johnny Reefer Seed. We got Akafool in the air. This will be available for download at our blog, stash.normal.org, by 3 o'clock today. This is Akafool in the air. Thanks, Johnny.
Put one in the air, trying to forget the day. I'ma put one in the air, lost in a cloud of haze. I'ma put one in the air, I'ma put one in the air, got me feeling like I need to smoke. Recession, unemployment, got them losing hope. They still raising gas prices. Swine flu, they can't stop kids. So I'm stressed out, so tired, waiting for my dog to come through. When it gets here, be clear, you know what we gon' do. Put one in the air, smoking my stress away. Put one in the air, trying to forget the day. Put one in the air, lost in a cloud. Yeah, yeah. I'ma put one in the air. I'ma put one in the air. I'ma put one in the air. Every day on the news, another child lost. Suicide, homicide, people getting robbed. These parents killing their children. Asking why there's no reason. No. So I'm stressed out, so tired. Waiting for my dog to come through. When it gets here, be clear. You know what we gon' do. One in the air, smoking my stress away. I'ma put one in the air, trying to forget the day. I'ma put one in the air, lost in a cloud of haze. I'ma put one in the air. I just want to live my life stress-free. But in America that can never be. See, freedom comes with such a high bounty. And most of us can't bear to pay the fee. So we stressed out, so tired. Waiting for my dog to come through. When he gets here, be clear. You know what we gon' do. I'ma put one in the air, smoking my stress away. I'ma put one in the air, trying to forget the day. I'ma put one in the air, lost in a cloud of haze. I'ma put one in the air, I'ma put one in the air, I'ma put one in the air.
That's Akafool with In the Air. Thank you to Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers for bringing us that tune. You can get a download of it at our blog at stash.normal.org. Sign in, create an account, and that download and many others will be yours. Also, check it out in our Daily Toker Tunes rotation right after the show.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Time to take a look at our normal cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Today, CSU Fresno Normal will be having their meeting at the campus of CSU Fresno in the MUB 3 313 building. Check that out on the campus, Fresno, California. On Thursday, April 15th, it is tax day. There is going to be plenty of stuff going on, including a Tennessee Normal Tax Day protest in Nashville, Tennessee. For more information, check out tnnormal.org. Philly Normal is also having their open meeting on tax day, Thursday, April 15th at the A Space in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You can check out phillynormal.org for more information on that. On Friday, April 16th, Tennessee Normal's having their April public meeting. Again, tnnormal.org will give you all the information you need to get involved with them. And on Saturday, April 17th, Friday, April 16th, I will be in Grants Pass, Oregon with the OCTA benefit, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. This is the Hemp is Earth Medicine Tour featuring John Trudell and Bad Dog, as well as special guest Jim Page, State of Jefferson, and Jim Matheson from the Herbivores. I'll be playing with Tim Pate, John Cornett, and Kenny Davis. This will be Friday, April 16th at the Rogue Theater in Grants Pass, Oregon. On Saturday, April 17th at the Ashland Armory in Ashland, Oregon, I'll be at both of those gigs. Then on Sunday, April 18th, they're at the LaSalle Stewart Center at the OSU campus in Corvallis, Oregon. Myself, on Sunday, April 18th, I'll be at the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo in San Francisco, California, giving a 30-minute speech at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Time. For all of these events and more details, including email addresses, websites, links, and more, check out our normal cannabis community calendar at norml.org/calendar. Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of normal legal committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, here's your dose of cannabis science.
We make our weekly trip back to upstate New York to visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, before we get started with the live question and answers, I always like to give you the chance to open up the show with any new news that we might want to know about cannabis science or cannabis research that might have come across your email inbox lately.
Today, my grad student Nicholas Von Dahm and I got news that our vaporizer study should be appearing relatively soon, and confirming yet again that the vaporizer is the way to sidestep any respiratory irritation, and hope everybody will go out and make good use of that information.
All right. Well, cool. We'll talk a little bit more about vaporization. I know we got a couple of questions in queue right now. Also, Dr. Mitch, we're coming to you live from Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe here in Portland, Oregon, and we've got a number of patients here that, you know, for one reason or another, you know how it is trying to ask your own doctor. They can't. So we've brought them here in front of the mic, and our first guest here in an Oregon duck shirt has a question for you. Go ahead.
Hey, Doc, can smoking cause ringing in the ears, or could it help ringing in the ears?
Tinnitus, ringing in the ears, anything about smoking cannabis and the effects on the ears like that?
Sure. The key on tinnitus is it's different depending upon how it developed. If this is a reaction to having heard a lot of loud sounds for a long duration, you know, went to too many rock concerts or had a job where you're surrounded by loud noises, there's the potential for that to be there. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of published research on this, but I've seen at least two individual cases where somebody said that that's helped. The other things that seem to help well are just general decreases in stress and doing things to make sure you're not exposed to a lot of ambient noise. So, you know, making it a habit to wear earplugs, not turning up your music too loud, all of those things seem to help in the long run.
Okay, so the cannabis or THC itself isn't anything to worry about as far as the ears goes, hearing goes?
It doesn't seem to exacerbate it, and at least two people have told me that it helps.
Oh, okay. Let me get a question here from our chat room, and then we'll get another live question here in the cafe. This one's from Matter of Liberty, who asks, are there drug tests that can measure nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood? I've heard in recent news stories, for example, that New York mom who was drunk driving and smoking, who killed 8 people, that lab tests have been used to indicate cannabis use within several hours of the time of the accident. So what is the state of drug testing, nanograms per milliliter blood tests with regard to cannabis?
So both blood and saliva can provide more accurate measures of recent cannabis exposure, whereas urine and hair tests are no good for were you high at the time of an accident type measures. As I've emphasized before, I would prefer, you know, a behavioral measure, those roadside sobriety tests, the stand on one foot, juggle, ride unicycle types, and I feel like I'd like to see folks move towards those. That way you can detect impairment for anything rather than just for a single drug.
Damn, Dr. Mitch, your drunk tests are hard. Let's go on to another question here from the cafe. We got another person waiting to ask a question in a Weed California shirt. Very nice.
Thank you. I get a lot of compliments on that.
I'm sure.
I'm Robert. And what I'd like to know, doctor, is when you eat the little gel caps with the herbs inside, with the medicine inside, what exactly are the effects going to be different for different people, sleepiness? What exactly should people expect when they ingest it like that?
I guess you're talking about the greeny capsules that a lot of people make with a key for cannabis in a gel cap that people can eat. How does that work for people?
The thing to understand is that the impact is going to be dramatically more than if you smoked that amount, and it's going to take longer to kick in. So don't take one and wait a half an hour and think, oh, I better take another one, because you're going to really be essentially taking a bigger dose than you intend. And then the advantage actually of oral administration is you create what's called 11-hydroxy-THC. So you end up creating a THC that's even more psychoactive than you would have via smoking, and so the impact is going to be a whole lot bigger, and it's going to last a whole lot longer. And individual differences in orally administered cannabis are, I feel, more dramatic than they are in smoked, in part because you don't find out for a while. And so my recommendation is to start with as small a dose as possible, give yourself a good 3 hours to really assess where you are, and then decide before you want to increase your dose.
Okay, we have a follow-up on that.
Yeah, thank you, doctor. Really, that's right on the nose. To follow that up, once the herbs, the medicine is vaporized, we end up with a brownish substance that looks a lot like tobacco, and when we put those in the gel caps, I've been told that can help people's pain. Do you know anything about that after product, how we can use that in the gel caps? Does that help also?
Great question.
So Ethan Russo has shown me slides of basically all the glands on the plant tend to burst in response to the vaporizer, and I know it's hard for people to throw that stuff away. Nevertheless, it may contain small amounts of the other cannabinoids. I know some folks have had some success throwing that in butter and then using it in edibles. And it, in theory, it would be sort of a low-dose version in the capsule of what you had before, but I wouldn't anticipate anywhere near the magnitude of the effects you would have of just putting the green substance right in the capsules.
We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. And I'm going to jump ahead in the queue of questions, but I assure you I'll back up and get the other questions. This one popped out to me just because of this breaking news story we had this week about the folks at Harborside Health Center coming up with a new strain. They've been researching strains of cannabis that are very, very high in CBD, cannabidiol, as compared to THC. And a lot of patients reporting better relief from pain or spasticity from these CBD plants. The question is from Destruction and wants to know, what is your take on altering these plants so they don't produce THC?
I, for one, like to see as much variety in the strains as possible, given all the individual differences everybody has in their reactions to these. GW Pharmaceuticals has done a lot of work in this domain, and I'm delighted to see some new work on this. It looks like the anti-seizure, the epilepsy treatment could really benefit from a strain that's higher in CBD. A lot of folks claim that both inhaled and orally administered strains with high in CBD and low in THC are a little less discombobulating, if you will, and make them a little less loopy during their day, and people seem to develop tolerance to the psychoactive effects of these more rapidly. So I think that this has a whole lot of potential as a new medicine, and I look forward to seeing data gathered on this topic.
Yeah, and of course the tendency of breeders to grow their plants toward a more THC profile, of course, is a effect of the prohibition. You know, the iron law of prohibition always says that when you ban a substance, people want to make it more and more potent just because they, maximizing their profits and so on. So I see as we have more legalization of medical marijuana, naturally I think we would have more variety, as you mentioned. Let me get to this next question from the NorCal Kid. This is a question that asks, have there been any studies showing cannabis to be an anti-drug in which the use of marijuana has curbed or eradicated addiction to other substances?
So Amanda Ryman recently published an article suggestive of that idea, and I've been hearing, tales about this for years and years. One of the most prominent opiate researchers from the 1940s basically said, look, opiate addicts don't like cannabis because you can't feel the heroin.
Huh.
And essentially, detailed a whole lot of folks who would use it in an effort to get off that. I usually get at least one email a month from somebody, either stimulant or opiate abuser, who said cannabis really helped them move off that. Obviously, you've got, the substitution problem, and if you're going to use cannabis problematically instead of another drug, it may not be all that much of an improvement. But when you think about the long-term health consequences of cannabis, even used at high levels versus long-term consequences of stimulants, obviously that's a step in the right direction as far as improving your health, and consistent with the spirit of harm reduction. So these are out there. Obviously, we're not going to see NIDA fund a study like this anytime soon, but I'm eager to see these data show up.
All right. Another question now from the chat room. This comes from Adeverat. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But this is a question that goes to a post that I've done on the Stash blog that is now my most commented post. I've got at least 110 people who've commented on this, 110 mostly females, who've commented with this basic same question. If pregnant women smoke pot, especially during the brain development of the fetus, will the child once born have more tendency toward a cannabinoid deficiency? And maybe to move it away from that specific question, just in general, the effects of pregnant women smoking pot on the fetus.
This is such a complicated field that only the animal literature has really done anything decisive. As you can imagine, folks who choose to use cannabis during pregnancy aren't exactly a random sample. Mary Lee Myfrey's data from basically Jamaica suggests that at least in the short term, there doesn't seem to be any impairment in the Rove's daughters, the women who are sort of allowed to use cannabis there and who use it during their pregnancy. Their kids, at least up to age 6 or so, don't seem to be any different. There was a study done in the United States, however, that children of mothers who used cannabis during pregnancy were more likely to have ADHD, but again, they weren't randomly assigned, and they didn't measure the ADHD in the moms who chose to do this, so I'm unclear about that. The animal work, unfortunately, uses such incredible doses of THC pure rather than cannabis itself, and of course, if you crank things up that high, you are going to get negative consequences. The clincher is the fetus is really sensitive, and the preferred thing to do would be, of course, keep the environment as clean as possible under those circumstances, and that's such the American way. Nevertheless, you know, you do see these data, and it's rarely a giant impact. Other folks are concerned that using cannabis would also decrease your ability to, you know, refuse other drugs or things like that. I don't find those arguments as compelling.
Okay, we have time for maybe a couple more questions here, and if you don't get your question asked during this session, you can always send it by email to Dr. Mitch Earlywine at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. So real quick here, a couple more questions. We've got one here on, this is a good one, from Deadeye6, who asks, what's the best way to ask your doctor about medical marijuana if you're not sure about his stance on it?
Well, Russ, you can go in with Understanding Marijuana, the book, under your arm, which is how I have broached the topic with a couple of physicians in this area, and generally talk about what your symptoms are, what they would recommend, and if they mention anything, you know, pharmacological, you can ask about, for example, Marinol, which is a pharmacological treatment, and THC in a synthetic version in a pill. If they seem informed about that, the natural step would be to say, well, I'm apprehensive about a synthetic. Is there anything else you might recommend? And then you've really broached the topic in a very sophisticated way. This isn't the time to go in with your I smoke weed t-shirt necessarily, and this may be an opportunity for you to broach that topic in a professional way. And by all means, you know, my physician has a copy of my book now. It's something you can do to educate these folks. MDs are smart, and they're willing to pay attention to data. And so if you can educate them, I think we can get them more and more on our side. And the AMA has said this is completely reasonable. So if they're going to poo-poo it, they're really going against their own association.
That's right. Go in armed with the science. We got one last question here. I'm going to turn this over to Ganja John because it is really something that comes from his own background.
Someone asked us in the chat, and it hits home for me. And they asked, how can we go about changing the organ transplant rules to allow cannabis consumers?
This is such a disheartening predicament. So folks who need organs transplanted, what a surprise, have all the symptoms that cannabis treats so well, and then if they have THC in their system, they're essentially turned down for that very reason. I think the key here is going to be education time and time again. We've seen folks respond really well, and some cases better, if they're using cannabis in these situations because they're not so nauseated, all the symptoms of rejection are not anywhere near as bad, and we've just got to spread the word. I think the key is going to be making sure that we're all writing letters, talking about this time and again, and going towards, you know, the folks who are making these decisions so that they understand that. The bottom line is encouraging our, you know, Congress people, senators, state reps, to make sure that this becomes a funding priority, because these kinds of transplants are very difficult to get in the first place. We don't want folks discriminated against simply because they're doing what they can to cope with the symptoms that are generated from this need for a transplant in the first place.
Yeah, we definitely want to get those rules changed. There's so many people that could benefit from this, and too many people who have already died waiting for a transplant that were denied just because they were a cannabis consumer. We're going to go just one more question because we got a live question here from our audience at the Cannabis Cafe. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hello. Wanted to find out from you, is there any other way to possibly utilize THC's benefits? I got fibromyalgia, and smoking THC kind of makes me get a little too hyper, maybe just, you know, out of control, whatever. But and eating it does the same thing after, you know, 3 hours or something like that. So is there any other way to get very low dosages of THC?
Good question.
You're going to laugh, But a lot of the lozenge approaches, the lollipops, things like that, can work, and experiment with strains so that if you can find a dispensary that has a strain that they say, look, this is not a blow-your-head-off kind of strain, this is one that's going to be relatively mild and relatively sedating, I think that you know, you have the potential to see a lot of benefit. And then the other clincher is dosage. So it may feel like, right, when you're done inhaling the vapor that you have no effect yet, that may be the time to stop and then experiment with seeing what will happen subsequent to that, rather than a lot of folks who, I'm going to keep inhaling vapor until I feel it, and by then you've actually already ingested a dose that's probably bigger than what you want.
Oh, great advice. Thank you, Dr. Mitch, and everybody in the chat room I know loves having you here. How about you folks at the cafe? What a good segment with Dr. Mitch, huh? They love you, Doctor. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much. Always delighted.
All right, we'll be right back with Tanya Davis from Miami Valley Normal of Ohio and Don Dunlap from Central Ohio Normal on medical marijuana in Ohio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Normal stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local Normal chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 50 after the hour and government work today. We're going to talk about the state of Ohio, which has just dropped a medical marijuana bill. Now, a lot of folks don't realize, but Ohio is one of the decriminalization states. And in fact, Ohio has the highest limits when we talk about personal possession. Up to 100 grams of cannabis is considered personal possession, for which you'll only get a ticket, no criminal record in the state of Ohio. 100 grams for the metrically challenged is about 3.5 ounces. Now, this bill that they've got in Ohio is going to give us, I believe, 200 grams for medical patients. And joining us here to tell us more about the details are Tanya Davis from Miami Valley Normal. And also, Tanya is the Pauline Sabin Award winner from our last Normal National Conference. And Don Dunlap from Central Ohio Normal. They're both joining us here. And Tanya and Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with Tanya. Tanya, tell us a little
bit. And I'm wearing the Ohio Normal hat.
Oh, good, good. Tanya, tell us a little bit about this bill that they've just introduced in Ohio.
Well, State Representative Kenny Yuko just introduced legislation, HB 478, into the House of Representatives. This legislation has been getting a lot of bad press. I do not want anyone to fret because this bill, this is an exciting time for Ohio, and I think that's why the press is pushing so hard to give us negative attention.
I agree.
We have a former police captain, Cincinnati, Ohio police captain. We have a former Ohio prosecutor. We have a former legislator. We've got doctors and nurses and patients galore that are going to be standing up for this legislation. Governor Strickland made a statement, and this is one of the things that really irks me. because he made a statement that he felt that we did, that they were medicines that could treat conditions better than marijuana. Well, sorry about his luck. In January of 2009, the governor, I attended a fundraiser, and he assured me that he would sign the Ohio Medical Compassion Act into law when it crossed his desk. He did not say that he supported marijuana use, but what he did say was that if we made it through the House and the Senate, that he would sign the bill.
That's good news.
So my attempt on this and our goal in Ohio, and as the medical marijuana director for Ohio, we have to force these folks to stand up for what's right. Let them know that they will not get reelected if they don't support compassion. You know, they're worried about it being a political suicide. I would honestly let them know that it will be a political suicide if they don't listen to the 73% of Ohioans who support the medical use of cannabis.
Absolutely. Tanya, thank you so much. And let's talk to Don here for a second, too. Get Don in on the line. Don's with the new Central Ohio Normal Chapter. And, Don, as you're going forward with this fight to pass the medical marijuana bill, what are some of the activities or some of the plans you guys have to help to get the public to push this? Because, as Tanya was saying, it's going to need some push from the people because they're saying it's going to be political suicide. What are your plans to get this passed?
Right now, we're telling people to call their, you know, state representatives, the obvious things. We do want to plan a rally, and that is in motion right now at the Ohio State House.
Oh, great.
And that is in motion. No date has been exactly confirmed yet, but it is in motion. And we do want to have it as soon as we can. We know time is really crunch right now. But we'd like to do it before the Senate and the House, you know, go on their summer vacation. It will be very soon. We've been looking with us. We have an Earth Day thing, where volunteers are donating time.
Oh, we seem to have some problems with your connection there, Donna. Don, hold on just a second. We're having some problems with your connection, but I did want to get across this website address that Tanya's given us in the chat room, medicalmarijuanaactionnetwork.com or mmjactionnetwork.com. Either way, you can get information on this this fight to pass medical marijuana in Ohio. Tanya, let's come back to you and give us a little bit of explanation about the bill itself. That once Ohio does become a medical marijuana state, what will be the limits or the conditions or anything that people might want to know about this bill? Okay, Tanya, are you there? I think we may have lost Tanya as well. That's okay. We're going to go on with this bill here. I'll tell you a little bit what I know. I do know that the limits proposed in this bill are 200 grams of medicine for the patients. That's approximately 7 ounces of medicine. And I do believe that they've got a little bit of the home grow provision available. The people will be able to grow some of their own plants, but I'm not sure. Unfortunately, it looks like we've lost that connection, so we'll just go on with the show as we can here as we roll out. For more information on anything about the medical marijuana fight in Ohio, check out the mmjactionnetwork.com for more information. And to get in touch with Miami Valley Normal or Central Ohio Normal, that's Tanya's organization and Don's organization, respectively, you can check out our normal chapters list, which is at norml.org/chapters, and that will get you the information you need. Are we getting the number back up there, John? Any chance of that coming?
I don't think so.
Okay, I do think we have lost them. So unfortunately, I got to apologize to Tanya and Don. Sorry about losing that Skype connection. It happens sometimes. I believe Tanya's in the chat room there. So folks, if you got questions for Tanya, go ahead and bring them up in the chat. I think she'll probably probably hang out for a while and give you more of that information. The Miami Valley Normal website, I believe, is at mvnormal.org. mvnormal.org if you want to find out more about Miami Valley Normal. I think Miami Valley Normal, that's in the Dayton area, I think, and maybe Tanya can confirm that for me in the chat room. Central Ohio Normal as well, that's Don Dunlap out there. You can get that information out at our Normal website, normal.org/chapters. Also, really quickly, I want to make a mention for our listeners in the Minnesota area. There is a Facebook page up right now that is purporting to be from a Duluth Normal, from Duluth, Minnesota. It is fake. It is a forgery. It is a fraud. We have been in contact with the person who's running that Facebook page. He is not a recognized Normal chapter, and he's trying to rip people off. So please do not send any of your money to this faux Duluth Normal chapter. We'll be having our attorneys serving cease and desist letters to him very soon, and we've contacted the folks at Facebook to get him removed from Facebook for using our logo without permission. I'm Radical Russ from Normal Show Live, and everyone here, Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie in Astoria, thanks for joining us here for another episode of Normal Show Live. We're here every weekday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, Monday through Friday at live.normal.org. Follow us on Twitter at Radical Russ. Send me email, stash@normal.org. Check out the blog, stash.normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we've got your Groovin' Thursday tunes with John Doe Radio and a visit with Terry Joyce in Southern California, plus another surprise guest. So join us tomorrow for Normal Show Live. See you next time.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.